We're going to pray in just a minute, and you guys are going to come around and serve by taking up the offering. And any connect cards that you might have with prayer requests or visitor information or anything like that, those green cards, you want to put those in the basket as well as they come around. Would either of you like to pray over the offering? Okay. Well, I didn't preempt them or prompt them or anything this morning, so I'll pray. You want to? Were you raising your hand?
I was pointing at you.
You were pointing at me. Okay. All right. I'll do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this hour that we can gather. And what we're going to hear, Lord, we just pray would penetrate to the very core of our hearts from Katie and Spencer and Kyle. Lord, we thank you for these two young men and for all the young ones that are here in the service with us, and that they're also going to be hearing about West Africa and the gospel going there and impacting lives there. And Lord, we pray that this offering we collect would just increase that capacity to send missionaries with the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Go ahead, guys. Elliot works that side, Landon's going to come around on this side. Get Spencer, Katie, Kyle, if you guys are ready, why don't you come on up? We got some chairs here for you. We'll let you guys take center stage here. Is it on? No. I'll have to unmute it. I think it's muted now, but all right. Oh.
Hello? Okay, that works. Well, I just want to, on behalf of all three of us, just want to thank everyone for the support and the prayers. Definitely could tell that you guys are praying. There was a lot of some hiccups, you'll see, but God is all powerful, so thank you for that. We're going to start with the slideshow first, and we also have a PowerPoint, so some of the slides might go kind of quick, and you may not get to see them as you want them, but don't worry, because we have a PowerPoint after that. So some of the photos are going to be on the PowerPoint. So go ahead, Nate, if you want to start up the slideshow, and after that, we'll go through the PowerPoint. So Tuesday, September 19th, we arrived in Cotonou. That's one of the shots from the city, just a street view of what it looks like. Go ahead, Nate, you get the next one. And then on that next day, we packed up all our stuff from Cotonou, and we drove, was it 8-hour drive? 8-hour drive on potholes and pothole-filled roads. I wish I had a photo of one of them. They're pretty bad. For 8 hours, it's the distance from here to Columbus. But it takes 8 hours because the roads are so bad. It takes us about, 3.5? So go ahead, hit the next one. So Friday, September 22nd, we visited the church leaders. They are in seminary training. Most of the church leaders are going through seminary right now to get better doctrine. We went and saw them, and we just, hung out with them, just saw them again, and just spent time with them that day after they were done with their seminary. Go ahead. Yeah, hold on a second.
There we go. It was really cool to go and listen to the satellite seminary come and speak to the all the different church leaders. And because there were some things that they never heard before, and there were also some things that we learned about other religions that the satellite seminary teacher was teaching them, so they can go out and they can preach to unsaved people. They can learn more about the Muslim faith. They could learn more about the voodoo faith. They could learn all different types of religions. It was just cool because there were some things that we didn't know about different religions that we got to hear about. And we have extensive videos on those, but they're really long. They're hours long. But if anybody's ever interested in watching them and hearing about different faiths, especially in different, you know, different countries, it's way different there. So
yeah, they have a few different faiths. They call it Christian group, but it's not. It's called the Celestial Church. They believe in Christ, but he's not the one true God to them. So they do sacrifices. We do sacrifices. What Katie was talking about at the fort, that was a fort, the Portuguese fort. There was French forts, Portuguese. I think there were a few others that they had their forts in Benin. And Benin is the hub, is the headquarters for slave trade back in the day. It's not anymore, but it was. And so they had all these different countries had different forts that they sold their slaves to. And that's how voodoo got traveled from Brazil. It started in Benin. And you don't think, oh, in the movies, voodoo is like real big in Hollywood and Brazil. It's actually started from Benin. So we learned that there's all these different countries that they still, when the slaves went to those countries as the sold, they still practiced their voodoo rituals. So that's how they had traveled. So the Saturday, September 23rd, we taught leaders in prayer walk in Basila. There was a change. You go ahead to the next slide there, Nate. There's a big change of plans for us. What God wanted us to do was something different. But what we were supposed to do was go teach the leaders and go to the churches to encourage. Encouraging the churches is really big for them because they do face a lot of persecution. Katie's going to talk about that in a minute. But they do face a lot of persecution and different things. And for us to go and travel very far, and they know it's very far, to see them is very important to them. They think of us as family. That's the truth. So for them to come see, for us to see them, is for them to see us is very encouraging for them. So we were supposed to do that. But instead, some things happened. Phones broke, cars broke down, a bunch of other stuff. We were in Basila at the time, so we were where we were supposed to be. But we had all these problems happen. So the solution to that was, well, let's just walk the streets. And while walking the streets, we were able to prayer walk for people. And Kyle's going to share, what happened with that.
So Spencer said, the plan wasn't to stay in Basila and walk the streets there. We were actually going to go to different villages and whatnot. But like he said, we had some technical issues. You know, nothing goes 100% as planned. So we actually just went to the streets around where we were staying and walked around and asked people if there's anything we could pray for them about, if they had any troubles, and also tell Bible stories and whatnot. And this young man right here, his name's it's pronounced E. Bryam. And we talked to him, and we called him over. We asked him how he was doing. You know, that's like the one line we know in French, comment ça va? And after that, it's like, okay. Yeah.
So then you need an interpreter.
And then that's when the interpreters come in. So, you know, I asked him how he was doing, whatnot, and he was having a hard time. A big thing for them is as soon as they can, they like to get employment. They want to be able to bring in money for their family, help support them and whatnot. And this young man was trying to become a driver. So he took all his tests. He did everything he needed to get his license. But he couldn't get his license for whatever reason. So we were talking to him, and we asked, well, can we pray about it for you? And he said, I don't want to talk about it right here. We're on the side of the road. He said, I have my friends here. I have family around. There's people around. I'm afraid of what they'll do if they see me, talking about that kind of stuff or praying about it. So we took him off to the side, and we sat down with him, and we asked, can we pray for you over here? And he said, well, there's still people around. So I told him, I said, I can pray for you just like we're talking right now. I'm like, nobody has to know. I'm like, God can hear it all. So we ended up praying for him right then and there, and he said he would be willing to check out the church we were staying at, Mustafa's church. He said he'd be willing to come down and learn about Jesus and accept him into his life. You know, he had faith. So we prayed for him. We said, we hope to see you Sunday. You come to the church service and whatnot, and we went on our way. And we had Yolanda with us, our translator, and we said, hey, you know, a lot of times when we tell people, yeah, I'll see you there, I'll be there, you know, whenever, you don't always see that person. And she said, yeah, that's kind of the same thing. So Sunday comes around, and we go to church, and he's not there. So I'm kind of bummed out, you know, we were praying for him and whatnot. So then on our way out, we were leaving, we're going to the car, and he was actually walking that way, and he was actually coming to the church. And we prayed for him, we introduced him to Mustafa, the church leader, and the next few days when we were teaching classes, he was there, and he came, and he was learning and whatnot. So we're continuing praying, we're hoping that he truly accepts God into his life, and then it's not just for, he's not just going to, okay, I don't get my license if I pray or whatnot, then whatever, you know.
Not to interrupt you, Kyle, but I did. Anyway, Mark sent me an email and told me that he is now a Christian. He's now saved. Wow. So praise Jesus for that. Yeah.
So that's, you know, and that wasn't the plan. We thought we were going to go to different villages and stuff, but God used us right then and there. And I did not know that. I did not know that right now, actually, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But that's just one instance of someone we talked to and interacted with on this journey. Oh, and by the way, in the video of Spencer eating the yams, if you couldn't hear him, he said you can stop filming now. So if anybody wants another minute of me filming Spencer just sitting there, let me know.
Eating the yams.
The yams were good. No one liked them. I chow down every time I go. So keep this gentleman in your prayers. Just because, you know, he's a Christian, I believe that he accepted Jesus. The persecution there is, like Haiti's going to talk about. They don't have water. Sometimes they don't have water. Sometimes they don't have food. So different religions will come in and do social work, get them water, get them things they need, and they will then go over to that religion because it's easier for them. If they associate with that religion, they'll get all those perks. They don't, then they don't. Then they have to struggle for themselves. So go ahead and hit the next slide there. That is Francis. On Sunday, we were able to, I had the privilege of preaching that day. So I preached, and then after that, we rested up a little bit, and we went out to go to see Francis's church. And there's two church leaders. They both work together. They're both under the same church, but there's Mustafa and there's Francis. This guy was under Mustafa about 2 years ago. Since he went through seminary, he's now elevated or whatever to lead his own group. So he has the north of Basila, and Mustafa has the south of Basila. A lot of the church leaders, they like to encourage them to be bivocational. A lot of them don't have the time to do both. But Francis, since he's gone through the seminary, is more effective with how he does things, with his learning and all those things helped him. He can now be bivocational. So he has a pig pen. This is a picture of him from his pig pen. And he also has crops on the church grounds that they let him do that so that they... a lot of times what they'll happen is they don't use the land, that they'll get it taken away. So there'll be churches that don't have churches anymore because the land was taken away. They weren't using it. So that's him in front of his pig pen. You go hit the next slide there. That's just we were at his compound talking, having fun. We enjoyed just spending time with his daughter. That's his daughter there. We were trying to teach her patty cake. It's not easy because we speak English and they don't.
Another thing is they don't use their left hand. So every time we would try to play patty cake with her, she would like not use her left hand. She would use her right hand. Yeah. So it was kind of hard, but she still had fun.
It was fun. Okay, go ahead. You can hit the next one there. This is Mikael. He's one of the church leaders in Francis is in a place called, can you go back, Nate? I wanted to just let everyone know. Go one more back there. Is it Freon? It's Freon. Okay. So that's a city there. And then Michael is in Dog. It's called Dog. Dog? Doge? Okay. So Michael's the one church leader there. They all have their own like villages or compounds that they do ministry in. It's kind of like, I don't know, kind of like a hub. They all have their own compounds, their own like villages that they do their own ministry in, that they all have their own churches. So Mikel is the leader in Doge. Okay. And you go hit the next one. Please play for these guys as they do their ministries there. So we were able to share. The first thing that you do is you go to the kings or past kings because they're highly looked on in the community. So it's out of respect, you go to them first, talk with them, share Bible stories with them. But not to be discouraged, because within 5 seconds of you trying to tell a Bible story, everyone comes and says, oh, there's a white person telling a Bible story. That's pretty nifty. Let's go check it out. So that within 5 minutes, you have a whole group of like 15, 20 people just listening to you. You started off telling one person a Bible story, and you end up telling everyone. So it's pretty cool. So I was able to teach, do a Bible story on Elijah and the altar, and just being able to use that as a Bible story. And then after we do the Bible stories, we talked about how Jesus is related to those stories. So we pulled Jesus into everything and then asked people if they'd like to come to Christ. And Kyle's going to share about his Bible story experience here.
I just have two microphones. All right. So, yeah, like Spencer said, when you go to the villages, you go to the kings or past kings, and you ask them permission. You say, can I tell a Bible story? And none of them turned us down, thankfully. So we got to tell the Bible stories, and I actually got to tell about Jesus saving the demonic man who had many spirits within him, and when he sent the evil spirits into the pigs, and the pigs went and drowned. So it was an awesome experience. They're very open to hearing these Bible stories and learning from them. Nobody, like I said, nobody turned us down, and afterwards we were able to invite everyone around who heard the story and ask them if they want to accept Jesus Christ into their lives. And when I told mine, it was really awesome, because there's probably about 15 little kids that just ran right up, eager to jump in. There's even one mom who I think she was eager for her kid to get up there, and she was kind of like pushing him up there. And I was like, okay, well, I'm glad he's up here. But you know, there's about 15 children who came up, and we had the translators there, and we told them exactly what was happening. We asked if they wanted to accept Jesus Christ in their life and believe in them, and they did. So we were able to pray for them, and you know, that's just one way of on this mission trip, just being able to spread the gospel and teach people about Jesus Christ. And it was a very surreal experience. It was great. Spencer told his as well. And, you know, it's just one part of the journey that was really awesome. So.
And the picture on the left over here. Oh, can you go back?
This picture on the left, Kyle and I were behind that building behind right there. And we were taking pictures with a whole bunch of kids. And we realized, oh, Spencer is over there talking. We didn't see that he was over there. And all the kids that were in the picture, like getting their pictures taken and everything, they all followed us over there, and they all came and listened. So it was really cool that just because we were just interacting with them, they all came and listened to what Spencer was talking about. It was really very cool.
You get the next slide there.
So this is the lady that I prayed for. I didn't get her name. She didn't talk at all. But they said that she had some really bad health issues. You can kind of tell she has something going on with her head. They don't really know the extent of her health, but she has been really fatigued and just in pain. And they don't have the health care there to provide anything, really. So we just prayed for her, and I prayed for her, and everybody in the community did, and we were praying that she would just be found just peace in her life, and that she would that she knew that there were people surrounding her that loved her and that she didn't feel forgotten because she was sick, because she was constantly just sitting inside because she didn't feel like she could do anything. And we just didn't want her to feel like she was alone, and we wanted her to know that we were praying for her from far away. So
you get the next slide there. And then on Tuesday, we did the teaching in Basilla. And just kind of overdrafted what the teaching is so everyone knows. I don't have a video, picture of it up here. The teaching that we taught them was a lot of the foundational doctrines of what we believe as Southern Baptists. We didn't just go and just brief over. We really dug in questions like, why is the Virgin Mary important in Jesus' birth? How is the Virgin Mary, how is Jesus still holy from even being born of a virgin? So things like that, like they're more than just those, but very deep questions. And we tailored it towards the biggest challenge there is the Muslim church. Like I said, socially, they're really dominating, giving people what they need. So a lot of people are going to the churches. There were, I think, 3 churches that shut down because of that. So just really giving them the ability to bring scripture into, really combating that of what why Christianity says what it says and why it's important. Yeah.
Well, I think it was before we went here. Yes, before we went to Adam's village, we stopped at a piece of land where it was bought to build a church, and there are a couple people that meet there on that land, but there's a bench there, and that's all that's there. And right next door is a Muslim church, and if they don't build a church there, I think it was in the next year, the Muslim church is going to take that land from them. So they won't have somewhere to go to church.
And you want to talk about his stuff for this family?
So this is Adam, and do you have a picture of their family on the next slide? No. Adam has been a Christian for 25 years. He was Muslim before he converted to being a Christian, and he has 3 wives. One of them is Muslim, or I think she's Muslim, and the other 2 wives are Christian. But in their culture, they believe that you should not divorce or leave the wives, even when you've converted to Christianity, because then you're letting go of your family, and then they don't have anybody to support them. And the men are the people who farm and take care of the family. So, and the wives pretty much cook and take care of the children there. So he has been dealing with a lot of struggles. Their whole community is Muslim, and they are the only Christians in their community. And they get persecuted very often. And they had a 15-year-old daughter that died, I think it was a year ago. And nobody in their community would help him bury her. And it was just very hard on him and his family. But it's really cool, though, that he's there, because people will come secretly to his home, and he will pray for them and the people around them. And so he is a light in the darkness there. So just keep praying for him.
Yeah, they, like Katie said, that his daughter died. And the big thing for them is everyone in that compound, but maybe like 300, 400 people. The compound village, Mark calls it a compound, doesn't. Anyone in that area will come together and they'll help bury a child. And a lot of what they do is, since they don't really have, they really don't have anything like we do. I mean, they have a lot of stuff, spirit, they have a lot of heart, they love people, but they physically, materialistically, they really don't have anything. So what they'll do is, everyone's is everything. Like, if I own something and someone else needs it, I give it to them to let them borrow. There's no questions asked. They all come together to share everything. And so big thing is, they all come together to bury their dead. And when he died, he was the only Christian. Everyone else was Muslim. So like Katie said, they said, well, if you were Muslim, yeah, we would come help you. Since you're not, we're going to let you leave you there. And he has to do it himself. So the guy's from Basilla, which is about 45 minutes drive up to that.
Yeah.
It's about an hour drive.
So the guys about an hour drove up in their motorcycles. That's all they have is motorcycles to come help him bury his daughter. So the persecution there is really real. And so just keep praying for everyone, especially Adam and his family. He's very strong, very solid Christian. Like Katie said, been a Christian in that village for 25 years. So just pray also, too, that there'd be a breakthrough as well, that people would start coming and being open about their Christianity. Go ahead and hit the next slide there, Nate. Wednesday, September 27th, again, we taught the leaders, and then we went to Eve's village, and we were went over to the country next to us is Togo. We went over there, and we visited Eve and his church. There's two churches in Togo. There's one that Mustafa leads, and then there's another one that Eve leads. And we were able just to visit with the family and see them. You hit the next one there, Nate. And that's just a photo of us under Eve's church, just this, a lot of the church members that are there. You go hit the next one. And then these are just Katie and this is Yolanda. She's our second interpreter that we had there. They both did an amazing job. It's kind of good, glad. When Darren saw that Yolanda was there, because we were there last time, he's like, yes. Because Katie said she would go crazy with a bunch of guys.
It made a big difference that she was there and that I got to spend some time with another lady, especially because in their culture, they're just it's just not even made for a woman there. It's very different than we're used to having all these luxury. We have like having bathrooms. I would have to walk from our church in Basilla all the way to our hotel to go to the restroom. So it's there's just stuff like that. Like it was just nice to be able to go to her and talk to her and tell her what I was struggling with when I was there, or just being able to have a woman to talk to in general.
And then you go ahead to the next slide there. And it's just me and Eve, one of the final shots of the last church leader we visited. And then go hit the next one there. And then on our way back, we drove all the way back to Cotonou from Basilla. It's another six-hour drive. And Mark decided that it was time. He goes, if I don't bring things home, I will be in trouble. My wife will be mad at me. Because there's things only you can get up north in Basilla, like some of the fruits and some of the yams and cheese. So these are we're driving. He stops in the middle of the road, pulls over, and all these ladies, there's like probably 15 ladies with cheese on their head, run out to us and bombard. You saw the slideshow that everyone was surrounding Mark. He was doing his thing, bartering with them. And so I put, but wait, there's cheese. So they're running over to the car. I think Cage took that shot there. You get the next one there, Nate. And then we came back Saturday. That's a shot from the plane. I don't even know. I think that was France. Maybe not. I don't know where that was. We're not ending. We have one more slide. Say one more slide there, Nate. Okay, so.
Spencer.
Oh, what? Go ahead.
I was going to talk about when we were in Cotonou and we went to Oueda and Ganvier. So the pictures that were on the boat and in the Portuguese fort, those were more towards the city. We didn't really do any mission work there. That was more just to get an idea of the voodoo in the area and just get a more historical idea of what went on there, because there were some things that we just never heard of, or we didn't really couldn't comprehend, like the voodoo there. We saw many we saw voodoo idols in the road. We went to the voodoo temple there, where it was very scary. You can feel like there was just something wrong there. And there was a 300-year-old giant tree where they put sacrifices at the base of the tree, and it had been burned through the inside, and it still was there. And they were really excited to see us there, but you can tell that Satan was working in that area. And then across the street, there was a Catholic church. And the Catholic church is there. They accept the voodoo religion also.
So the people will go and listen to the Catholic doctrine, and then they will go to the voodoo temple and make sacrifices. And it's been something that's been installed in their life from the beginning. Like, this is the origin of voodoo, so there is just such a wide mission field there. And that's why I was so excited to hear from the first day we were there just the different types of religions and everything, because we were able to kind of get a larger grasp on kind of how we can minister to the people here, and then we can also kind of like study how we can minister to them more. So it was just really cool to have the opportunity to be there, even though it was kind of scary at the voodoo temple. And then in Ganvier is a very large voodoo city also.
So real quick, and we're kind of running low on time here. Would you guys like to share something that God taught us very quickly?
Just one thing?
Yeah. Like Katie just said, voodoo is big over there. It is real. You know, we have our things here that Satan uses to take us away from God, and they have their things over there. They have voodoo. We have things like technology, social media, stuff like that. You know, one of the things it just taught me, you know, Satan works in different ways in different cultures to take people away from Jesus. And, you know, a big thing that I just kind of, you know, going on this trip and just, you know, when we talk about it, we talk about missionaries, we talk about supporting people and whatnot. You know, it's one thing. When you really get to go there and see it, you know, it kind of really hits you in the face. And I hope that we can just stay persistent on supporting them and, you know, not kind of put them on the back burner when we take a few weeks off or whatever, not talking as extensively about it. You know, they're our church family, and I just hope that we can continue to support them and just keep them in our thoughts, have good communication with them.
What I learned from this trip is nothing is a big deal anymore. Just have to take everything as it goes. Here, what if you talk for a little bit?
What I learned about this trip is there was, like I said, there was a time when it was just very frustrating. We weren't doing what we were supposed to do, but God had his works. I mean, we went to Basila, we did prayer walking, and one of the gentlemen, Ibrahim, he had accepted Christ. And that night before, the night after, and it was, you know, Kyle prayed for him, and, you know, he was like, yes, I'm going to come to church. You know, that was a night of celebration. That was a night of where we could have celebrated God's work of being able to approach this man and having interest in Kyle praying for him earnestly. But that night I was very frustrated. I was upset. I was mad. I just felt like, why is this not going the way I want it to go? And God showed me that it's not about you and what you want. It's about what he wants and the glorifying his name. So that just humbled me. And just to read the email that Mark had said that he's now a Christian, really just put me on the ground. Just realized that, you know, it's not about, you know, annoyances. Maybe there's some annoyances in church. Maybe there's some people that get a little loud and rowdy. Maybe there's things that don't go your way. And it's really, it doesn't matter, because God's using that to glorify his name. And that's what matters. And so that's what I learned about the trip. We need to ask questions now. All right, real quick, I know we're running on time. Does anyone have any questions? Just a few people, Dad. The greatest need is really prayer. There's some other needs that we have we're going to be able to share with the elders here hopefully soon. That maybe that it'll be something that we can broadcast to the church. But there's a lot of physical needs as well. And it's, you know, it's churches being built. It's a lot of social work. But there's just a lot of stuff. Why it takes a lot of wisdom to know what's needs to be filtered through. Pam? Expectancy.
Can I say something? Spencer, can I say something?
Really short. So it is, there is an urgency, you know, because mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Katie.
When we were on our way back to Coach New, there was an old man that Mark wanted to get some fruit from for his family, and his family pretty much abandoned him. And he was pretty old, and he was just selling his food by the side of the road. And that was his only way of making money. He didn't have anywhere to live. And he was probably 70. And it was just shocking, because I don't know where his family was, and nobody knew where they were. And Mark was like, I just have to give this man money. He just needs it. And it was just such a blessing that he was there, and we stopped there because we were able to bless him. It's just like little things, like even Mustafa's daughter, she's been very sick. We were able to support her because of our church supporting us. So it was just very cool that we were able to do that on the trip. And
so just one more question, and then we have to really have to wrap up. Okay. No, no one spoke English, all French.
French. The only people that spoke English were the people in Cotonou, and that was when we were going to the little shops or something, because they were trying to get us to buy stuff that we didn't want to buy.
Okay, thank you guys for everything. We have to wrap it up, but please, if you have any other questions, we're going to be back there at the table for a few minutes after service. Please ask us. We're willing for... answer any questions. But thank you, everything, guys, for everything, for prayers, for support. Thank you very much.